Well, happy Father's Day, church. Who's excited they're at church today? Come on. Where are my youth at? Youth, are you here? That was not a youth saying that. That was a youth mom saying yes. Nothing says happy Father's Day like, hey, we finally got your kid to come to church. In adult service. We're excited. Actually, it's a special day, not just for fathers. We're going to talk about fathers in a minute. But our youth are heading to camp today. Very exciting. Very exciting. Our kids, elementary kids, are going to camp on Friday. And so, well, it's Friday for us. Lee, if you go on Saturday, you're going to be a day late. We are so excited for these camps. Honestly, we put more effort into these camps than any other event we do all year, and there's a simple reason for that. We see more spiritual impact in a few days at camp than we do in a whole lot of other things that we do here at the church. God can really move in your life when you set down your cell phone. Amen. And you go to camp where there's no reception. It's unreal. And you're open. You're open to hearing from the Spirit. So can we pray, church? Let's pray for these kids and leaders as they go out. Lord Jesus, thank you for getting us here. We thank you for every child, every leader that is signed up to go to camp. We ask right now that you would help them to be healthy, help them to be safe, help them to have a great camp experience. But most of all, Lord, we ask that you would help them to experience you. God, that you would be lifting some of the burdens that they've been carrying. God, that you would free them from some of the destructive patterns and the addictions they have. Lord, we pray that you would show up at camp in a mighty way, even for our leaders, Lord. We pray that your Spirit would be speaking to our kids and to our leaders. We thank you again, Lord. You are so good to us. Help those kids have a great camp. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Yes, excited for you, youth. It's going to be a great weekend, or I guess week, because it's Sunday. Well, also, happy Father's Day. Who's excited this Father's Day? Come on. You made it another year. Where would we be without our dads, right? I can think of many, many situations with my dad where I probably shouldn't be here today if it wasn't for a little bit of his patience. I can think of one story. My dad did a lot of remodels, so he would buy houses for significantly lower rates that were very, very much in need of repair. And that's what we would do every weekend. We would go and repair these houses. And so me and my three other siblings, there's four of us, we would try to be as helpful as we can. As my dad was working, doing all this work, getting all this stuff done. To this day, I couldn't tell you how to frame a house or to do sheetrock, but if you need a tape measure, I'll find it. You could hide it, and I will find that tape measure. Also, on certain days, I'm also very good at dodging tools if they're thrown at you, but that's a whole other story for my therapist. On this particular day, we'd been working all morning. It was into the afternoon, and my dad's sweating. It's summer. It's hot. And he sits down on a bucket. He sits down on a bucket and falls asleep, which is not a good move as a dad. I have four kids, and I would never fall asleep in front of my four kids. I would be afraid I would wake up with a shaved head. And somehow, in every one of my childhood stories, it was always my siblings getting me to do something I really shouldn't do. In this case, The brilliant plan was to stick something up my dad's nose. So it didn't take a lot of convincing. I was like, yes, this is great. Let's do it. So I found a wooden dowel that was about 3 feet long. I thought, this is perfect. I can almost get 5 feet away. I slowly approached my dad, and I just jammed that thing right up his nose. I can't really explain the look on his face, but if you want to know, go get a dowel, wait till your spouse falls asleep, and then stick a dowel up their nose. Needless to say, that might be one occasion where I probably deserved a much bigger punishment than I got. That is no way to be woke up. But happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. We know it's a lot. I know it's a lot. Sometimes kids are doing things that are crazy, sticking stuff up your nose. But we love our dads. Over the past few months, we've been in a series on the book of Acts. Now, we've also had guest speakers and Mother's Day, some other things. We have been speaking through the book of Acts in a style of preaching that is called expository. Who are my scholars? Can you nod their heads? You know what expository preaching is? It's like a simple understanding of it. This is not a total definition, but if you pick a book of the Bible, you would start at chapter 1, and then you would speak on chapter 2, and then you would speak on chapter 3, or a section of a chapter. Like you go through the Bible in that way. And so we are preaching on the book of Acts chapter 7 today, and I have to say, there is something beautiful about expository preaching because you don't get to pick the day you speak on a passage. In topical preaching, you could think like, oh, this is coming up, so I want to speak on this topic. Expository preaching, it may feel random, but I hope today you'll go with me. This is not random today. God knew you were going to be here today. And we have a message from Acts chapter 7. The reason I preface all that is because Acts chapter 7 is about a guy getting stoned to death, which isn't necessarily the first pick on Father's Day, but it's the one we got. So we're going to do our best, and it's going to be a good message. Let me remind you, though, where we're at. So Jesus has promised he's going to be with his disciples no matter where they are, no matter what they do. He's ascended up to heaven, but has sent his spirit to now live in them. They are going out and doing what he asked them to do. They're sharing the gospel everywhere they go, and the church is growing significantly. Last week, Pastor Roger gave a great sermon on servant leadership because what the disciples found was there was too much work. They needed another layer of leadership. They were teaching and preaching and, writing these books of the Bible we have. They needed other leaders to step up. One of those leaders was Stephen. Stephen was a man of great faith. Stephen was a man with the spiritual gift of doing miracles. He was an awesome person. And the role that he was selected for, which I loved Pastor Roger's sermon last week, the role that he was selected for was serving bread to widows. He had all these giftings, but yet he was humble enough to know, hey, I want to help in whatever way I can. And he was helping in this way, which was, I love that. It's a good lesson to remind myself every time I get a big head. Even Stephen was serving bread. So Stephen was also, in his free time, debating and preaching the gospel with Jewish leaders in the synagogues, to people. The church, it says, was, at the beginning of chapter 7, was growing a lot, and it singles out that a lot of priests, Jewish priests, were converting over to Christianity. This did not make the leaders of the church very happy. And so they devised a plan to falsely accuse Stephen. And if you have not read Acts chapter 7, I'm not going to read his defense, but sees out the gospel message all the way from Abraham, all the way to Jesus, and explains it in such an awesome way. I'm going to pick up after he finishes that. It says in chapter 7, I'm just going to read it, verse 54, when the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this, they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they rushed him, dragged him out into the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he said this, he fell asleep, and Saul approved of their killing of him. I'm going to continue a couple verses into chapter 8. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. It's powerful. There's a lot to take in there. Today, I want to talk to you about persecution. I want to talk to you about pain. And I will try not to be a bummer on Father's Day. So let's pray together that we'll be open to hearing from God's word. Lord, speak to us today. We want to hear from you. God, we are open to your spirit speaking to us. Lord, you know the hurts and the wounds in our hearts and in our minds and in our bodies. We need your healing touch today. Would you heal us through this word and through your spirit? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. Well, persecution kind of had its genesis right here. Before this, like, the Jewish people, I mean, I would call it persecution, but it was more like an invading army would just take over and kill some of them and enslave them. This is a different sort of system, okay? They're under a secure Roman rule in the sense that there's no invading army that's going to come get them. They're allowed to live underneath this rule. This is persecution against their own people, other Jews hating them. Persecution goes on to also the Romans later, not that later after this, but this is kind of the start of something. And to be honest, that pattern continues throughout the history of the church, that people would hate Christians simply for the things they believed, the things they said, because of their belief in Jesus. Persecution was a normal part of the early church. John 15:20, this is Jesus talking. He says, "A servant is not greater than his master. If he persecuted me, or if they persecuted me, they will persecute you also." I mean, Jesus saying this before the book of Acts, persecution is coming. A couple of verses from the disciples of Jesus. This is 1 John 3:13. "Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you." We just don't see that on a coffee cup. But it's in there. And it is kind of a good reminder to say, you know, hey, there are some perks. This isn't one of them. The world is going to hate you. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Interesting. Makes me wonder how godly of a life am I living if I'm not feeling a ton of persecution. We're going to let that sit. All right. 1 Peter 4, and 1 Peter has a ton to say about persecution. Chapter 4, verse 12 through 14 says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Jesus, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you." I feel like we may have just jumped into the deep end of Christianity. Stay with me. Grab your neighbor. Keep each other afloat. We're gonna get through this. So I did not write this sermon thinking of like a prediction of the future that all of a sudden our church in Medford or our church in America is going to go under some great persecution. However, again, historically, the church has always come up against persecution. In every culture, in every country, there has been persecution throughout the history of the church. Jesus himself promised this. This is something that will happen. Now, the United States of America, best country in the world, as my friend Sean Fairburn would say, back-to-back World War champs. He always says that, I don't know why. We have created a safe place for Christians for over 200 years. The church has been able to be safe from persecution. This may not last forever, though. In fact, I'm young, so whenever you get a young person talking about the last 20 years, take it with a grain of salt. But in the last 10 years, it just feels like being a Christian is more and more out of step with our culture, more and more out of step with the people that we see in movies and on TV. It starts to feel like we are a bit of a minority in a country that was founded on Christian principle. Honestly, though, I think this is good for the church. Crazy. Hot take. Persecution is a part of our DNA, of what it means to be a follower of Christ. I want to talk to you today about the C word, comfort. I don't know what you all thought I was going to say, but comfort. The problem with 200 years of safety, you can get a real weak church after 200 years and no persecution. If you've been blessed to be overseas and seen other churches that are in cultures that are much less democratic or safe, you meet these believers and their relationship with Jesus is incredible. Because they have to be. They might die because of their faith. So this is not a willy-nilly decision for them. They're a follower of Jesus. There is a danger in living in comfort. Now, comfort is not bad. I like comfortable clothes. I like comfort food, obviously. I like comfortable temperatures in my house. Shout out to Terry Dollar, a friend of mine who said I shouldn't feel bad for that. It's worth it to be living in a nice, cool house. I like comfortable conversations that I'm comfortable with and don't feel super anxious about. I like comfortable relationships. I like people that are very easy for me to be around. I like comfortable traditions, things that I do all the time. I like a comfortable theology, a theology that makes me feel good. I like a loving, comfortable God. Comfort is not bad, but you can see how quickly you can allow comfort to rise too high on your priority list. Because although I might like a comfortable theology or a comfortable relationship or a comfortable God, deep down that is not what I want. I want an encounter with the real, loving, fierce, punishing God that's going to help me be more like Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus, which means there are several things I have to do that are not comfortable. When we make comfort an idol, or maybe even just comfort as a goal or a destination, I just want to be comfortable. Man, there is a danger when we overemphasize that. Jesus promised that we would have trouble in this world. Believe it or not, comfort can be a danger to your relationship with God. When coming to church is just comfortable, why do you think we turn it really cold or really hot sometimes? We're just trying to help you. We're just trying to help you. Why do you think we get the music too loud sometimes? Come on. Somebody amen that? We're helping you. I'm sorry. Remember King David. I am not going to go into all the story, but this one summer, all the kings are supposed to go to war. King David doesn't. He stays home. And it's in that one decision that leads him to another decision to sleep with Bathsheba. Bathsheba? I said it weird. That wasn't that funny. Just said it wrong. Jerry, where's Jerry? Help me out, Jerry. Oh! I just called Jonathan Jerry, and you don't even know what that means. Jonathan, give it up for Jonathan. I told him I would give him a shout out if he came to church, and he came to church, and then I called him by his brother's name. But that was uncomfortable, so it was kind of good, I guess. David sleeps with this woman, has her husband killed so that he can marry her. A series of horrible decisions that lead to a devastating punishment from God. His first decision, though, was to stay comfortable and not go to war. Men, have you become too comfortable? Women, are you too comfortable? Psalms 23, David himself wrote that we are led by God to still, quiet waters and green pastures. And I love that. Rest, comfort, these are not bad things. However, he also says that God is then going to lead us through the valley of the shadow of death, which just about sounds like the worst place ever, if I'm being honest. A place I don't want to be. God's promise to us is not that we will always have green pasture. God's promise to us is not that it's always going to be good or fine or okay or painless or safe. But God does promise us that when we face the difficulties of life, he's going to be with us. Every step we take. In our Bible story today in Acts, It is such a comfort to me to know at the moment that Stephen was going to die, he looks up and sees Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. What a miracle. What a miracle that he got to see this as a reminder to say, hey, Jesus is with you. He's with you right now. Interesting to note, as much as I would want it, and maybe others were even praying, God did not stop this from happening. Stephen was stoned to death, which has got to be a horrible way to die. God is not promising us safety. God is not promising us comfort. But he is promising us that he is going to be with us every step we take. And that when you feel like you are in the darkest valley, that he's right there to hold your hand. You could be praying for our students this summer or this next week. This is the message we're going to be sharing with them. That God is right there in their darkest moments. Another issue we get with comfort. It's a big one. You cannot grow when you're comfortable. Maybe you've had the experience to watch a kid teeth, growing teeth. I honestly don't know. I think the Lord makes it early in our life so that we don't remember it. But it looks like the most painful thing in the world. And then they're going to fall out and they have to do it again. Grow their teeth a second time. Ugh. As soon as I say I don't like to be hugged, everyone comes and hugs me. I think I'm safe on this one. If you got a tooth that is going to fall out, do not come up and wiggle it in front of me. My kids love doing that, and they got blood on their fingers, and they just wipe it on the wall. Oh, my goodness. Teething. Ugh. There's a literal name of growing pains, right? As our bodies grow, you know, kids get their joints kind of hurt. They can be hurting. It is painful to grow. If you have ever been through physical therapy, comfort is not going to help you get better. Laying down is not going to help you get better. It's actually the pain of working through life that helps us grow. You can't grow in comfort. It's bad for you if you're in it too much. Now, I rarely feel like exercising. I was just about to say thank you for not laughing. I guess I can't say that now, bud. Okay, commiserating, I get it. You might have guessed that I don't love to exercise. Exercising hurts my body. That was not a joke. That was just true, but exercising is painful. You have to break your muscles down in order for them to grow back stronger, right? Or take steroids, or I don't know, something that might help. But let's not stop there, though. My marriage. You got to be willing to have a difficult conversation. You got to be willing to enter into a difficult moment. Comfort, believe it or not, may not be a sign of health in your marriage. Maybe it's just two people who've decided to co-live together and they're not willing to work on some of the hard things that need to be talked out, hugged out, kissed out. Amen. Where are you placing your value? Are you willing to fight to grow? Or are you just trying to live in comfort? Introverts, you got to make a phone call. This is from the Lord. Trust me on this. I don't know who it is. A text will not do. You have to talk to somebody on the phone. And it might stress you out, but do it because it is good for you to do it. Extroverts, I have no idea. You guys should probably read a book or something. I'm not an extrovert, so I don't really know what would be good for you. But maybe find a quiet place. If that sounds like it's painful, then you're probably on the right track. I want to invite the worship team to come back up. Comfort is not your friend. In life, it matters where you aim. If you aim at the wrong place, even if you don't hit it, you may end up way off from where you want to be. If comfort is your goal, you are pointing in the wrong direction. Believe me, as an American, I get that's kind of a crazy thing to say. I literally came from my air-conditioned house, drove in my air-conditioned car to come to this nice air-conditioned church. We love comfort. I love comfort. Comfort is not evil in itself. But if the AC went out in this church and we sent an email saying that, don't raise your hand. But how many of you would consider not coming to church this morning? All right. Worship team safe. I told you not to raise your hand. Man, we can overemphasize comfort way too much. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know how uncomfortable it'll be to be a Christian 10 years from now. But some of us need to get up and dust off our Bibles. Some of us need to flex some spiritual muscles we haven't flexed in a while. Because we've been too comfortable. We've been too safe. There is a better target than comfort. That target is peace. Friend, peace only comes from following God. Psalms 34, 12 through 14, which is also 1 Peter 3, 10 through 12. And again, Peter is talking about persecution in his book. Says this, whoever loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Actively pursue it. Peace does not come from finding your safest, most comfortable place. It doesn't come from pushing away all the scary things that we have to deal with in life. Peace comes from following God. You were made to follow Jesus. You were made to love God. And it's not to say there will be no green pastures. It's not to say there will be no comfort. But if it's uncomfortable to follow Jesus, you just got to keep walking with him. Again, Stephen, he's a bad example because he took it all the way to his death. That's hard for us to get our minds wrapped around. Let's start with being okay if something at church isn't the way you want it, right? Let's start with not freaking out if something doesn't go well at lunch today. Let's start with something small and say, you know what? This is uncomfortable for me right now. I bet I'm flexing some spiritual muscles. Let's do this. Let's see how I react when life is not easy. No amount of comfort feels good if you don't have peace. And I hate to say this to you, but God is not concerned with your comfort as much as you may hope that he is. I have to let that one sit because I don't want to break anyone's view of God. But if you thought that God's job was to make your life happy, you are looking at it the wrong way. God wants to make you better. God wants to do something in you that will make you live a better life, a life filled with peace that may even have bad days and may even be difficult, but you can go through it hand in hand with him. It's hard to be able to say, I'm willing to take a difficult time if it makes me closer to you, Jesus. But this really is the prayer of the early church, that it was a blessing to suffer because it forces us to walk hand in hand with our Savior. 1 Peter 3:17, for it is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Philippians 4:6-7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Scripture is good. Who needs God's peace today? Yeah, raise your hand up if you need it. That might be uncomfortable for you. I apologize. I need it. I see that hand in the back. I see both hands. God has a way for you through this trial that you're in right now. God has a way for you in this diagnosis that you may have received or someone you know and love may have received. God has a path and a way for you through this broken relationship that is breaking your heart. That path may hurt, it may be uncomfortable, but he's going to walk with you every step of the way. And how beautiful is it that our own Savior knows exactly how it feels to be persecuted, to be beaten, to be killed. He did that for us because he loves us. Let's love our Savior by trying to be closer to him today. Amen. Sometimes it takes a step. I hope you're open to that step today. Would you stand with me? We're going to sing another song. Let's praise the Lord together.